This is a reading of a cycle of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled First Steps in Christian Religious Renewal. This is the discussion that was held after the fifth lecture in Stuttgart on June 15th, 1921. Rudolf Steiner. So, now that you are full of plans, let us begin. Emil Bach. We sat together this afternoon to try to determine what we can contribute toward clarifying what we ourselves must do. In relation to this work, the fundamental question arose as to what extent we should work openly, Insofar as there is clarity among us, we see that not everything can be handled in the same way. We must consider how we do so as a question of method or procedure. In each specific case, each individual must know what he or she may do. We now have a concrete goal before us, and that is the prospect of a course. We intend to gather at least 100 people for this course. After the course, we must take a big step into the public arena, and this we will do. We have even discussed the question of how to join our loose organization. And we have drafted a text for those who wish to participate. We have not prepared an entry process for individual people, but rather a joining in on the request for a course. This would be the most practical way to draw people. The text reads as follows. Quote, "The undersigned feels the desire to work together toward the awakening of a new religious life to overcome the present forces of decline, and hopes to attain this goal in a new synthesis of ritual and Christian teaching, and hereby registers for a course in religion to be led by Dr. Steiner, and commits to a strictly discreet handling of communications here received. Representative, name, address." Rudolf Steiner. When would you want to hold the course? Emil Bach. We decided to have it in September, if possible. I have been charged with the task of asking for an approximate schedule. Rudolf Steiner. With respect to my being available in Switzerland, it would be good to schedule the course at the same time as other events are scheduled to take place there. Here, I have only a certain number of days that I can be away from Switzerland. It is a complicated situation. It would certainly be good if the course could be planned to take place at the same time as other events. We could consider September. Speaking to Ernst Uhle, when are the events planned in Stuttgart? Ernst Uhle. They begin the last 2 days of August and extend into September. Rudolf Steiner. How much time would your events require? Ernst Uhle. 10 days. Rudolf Steiner. The course must have 14 days. Perhaps we could have 2 lectures a day. Ernst Uhle. A different event is planned for each day. Rudolf Steiner. But not by me. Naturally, I can dedicate myself completely to this course, except when I am obliged to give lectures in the Congress. If I receive no other requests or demands, this could work. Ernst Uhle. Yes, I hope there will be no such requests. As I said, we want to begin at the end of August, if it is possible for people to come then. Is there an event in Dornach immediately afterward? Rudolf Steiner. I checked, and the last day of events in Dornach will be on August 27th. A Eurythmy performance, therefore, will not be possible on August 28th. We must, of course, have a rehearsal for Goethe's birthday program. We cannot have a Eurythmy performance for Goethe's birthday that has not been rehearsed. August 28th will not work if you want to have the Eurythmy performance. We could begin with the general work, but it seems to me that the time is a little too short for you. It is now the 15th of June. It could be possible to do this, because there are still 2.5 months from now until September 1st. Also, it does not have to happen before September 1st. Do you think you will be ready by September 1st? Emil Bach. We hope to have 100 people by then. Rudolf Steiner. We may assume that you would be able to gather more people if you took more than 2.5 months. Emil Bach. We also have to consider people studying in the universities. Rudolf Steiner. Do you mean this is a difficulty? Emil Bach. It presents us with certain possibilities. Naturally, it is just a different set of possibilities. Rudolf Steiner. If you are not in a position to be ready by September 1st, beginning in the fall will be problematic. If you can only get people after the universities open, then again we will have to wait, probably until the second half of October and into November, I think. Is that not correct? Emil Bach. Then it is better to wait, because trying to get people when the semester has not yet begun is not possible for the most part. Would we be allowed to ask for a course if we were fewer in number? Rudolf Steiner. Yes, certainly. I will say that it would be most wonderful if we could hold that course in Dornach, if it would work and be financially manageable. That would be the best. It is naturally easier to give samples of ritual and so on there. Also, we would be more able to shape the course in Dornach. Last fall we successfully held the college course, Hochschulkurs, in Dornach. We tried to get the Entente countries to pay for the participants so that the members of the audience from Germany were our guests. Naturally, this would also have to happen with this course. Then it would only be a matter yet of seeking in some way to raise the money to cover travel costs. I think that to travel from Berlin to Basel would not cost much more than to travel from Berlin to Stuttgart. Accommodations in Dornach would also have to be arranged, but that can be decided later. It does not have to be handled now. I think that it would naturally be acceptable to some of you if we could hold the course in Dornach. In principle, you would not rule out this possibility, would you? The difficulty, my dear friends, lies in the fact that we could indeed suggest to the Entente countries that they support a general course of study, as it is an international event. However, the question is whether many people from the Entente countries are prepared to support only German theologians. We must, of course, tell them what the support money is for. That is the question. I almost believe that they would give their support, but whether they have it in their hearts to support only German theologians. For, and this might interest you, though I did not stress it especially in my talks, what I said to you is only valid for German theologians. The question is only ripe for decision in the Central European nations. Even in Switzerland, it would be useless to pose the question, and all the more so in France and England. Actually, it would be of no use in the Entente countries as such. You would be refused immediately. No one would understand that such a thing could be done. A participant. I thought that perhaps we could expect help from Holland. I also know Dutch theologians who are friendly to our cause, young theologians. Would Holland not be a possible possibility? Rudolf Steiner. Yes, of all places, Holland would enter most into consideration. I can well believe that we have some friends among the theologians there. But they will not exactly be the ones with the purse. I do not doubt that among Dutch theologians there are individuals who could understand the question. However, on the whole, no one has the heart for it. On the other hand, I think that the course can be financed from here. To raise the money from here to hold the course in Dornach would be invaluable. A participant. How is the matter seen in Sweden and Norway? Rudolf Steiner. I hardly think that you will find any understanding there. In Sweden and Norway there is an intense consciousness that reform can grow out of the church itself. In Sweden, people gave me a direct promise to negotiate concerning this or that. The people there have the idea that they can actually reform the church, and where this idea is still deeply rooted, it works very strongly. However, the idea is not so deeply rooted here in Germany. A participant. To begin with, we are not acting officially against the church. The people in Sweden can safely assume that our work involves a movement that will be on a neutral basis with the church. Rudolf Steiner, they would, however, ask you, what do you actually intend to do? Do you want to build independent congregations or work out of the church? The minute you say that you want to found independent congregations, it will become very questionable for them. Holland is still the country that best enters into consideration. People in France and England do not understand it. In Switzerland it is totally out of the question. I think, however, that we will be able to get what we need from Germany. How will we do this, financing, cannot yet be discussed. We can do this just as soon as you are in a position of authority. We want to try. As I said, I doubt it can be done in foreign countries. You have no idea how terribly conservative Switzerland is. Thus there were almost no Swiss students at the Easter course, and Swiss theologians are simply naive. I do not believe, however, that what happened to me recently, just before I left, would happen to you. Two theology students from Basel came to me and asked me if I would like to respond to Heinzelmann and present a second paper against him at the seminary. I cannot get involved giving responses. However, they were not in any way really committed to the idea. It did not matter to them. They also thought that I should give independent lectures. Then they began to speak about the issue itself, and that was really quite naive. One said, quote, "I recently read Luther's talks. If things were like that again, then things would be fine. Someone just needs to speak like Luther spoke." Close quote. Yes, there is a great deal of naivete among the Swiss theologians. Do you not have colleagues in Switzerland? No? The Swiss are intensely conservative. They will be a strong hindrance to the progress of Europe. In spite of that, which has nothing to do with our holding the course, I think it would be wonderful to hold the course in Dornach. We could schedule it in connection with other courses, so you could hear other lectures as well. But you must see to it that you get some more people. Emil Bach. Do we have to wait until we have 100 people? Rudolf Steiner. I have nothing against there being fewer people than that. I am not thinking the way you think I am. I think that however many people you get in 2 months, when it is not vacation but when the universities are in session, will be fine. It might not even be 80 people, perhaps only 60. Then we would do the course with 60. We would have the course transcribed by a stenographer, and those who come later would be obliged to read it. Therefore you must include in your formulation of the pledge of commitment the requirement that those who come after the course is over must read the course. We can do it that way, but I believe you have misunderstood me. I did not say that a particular number of people must attend the course. Emil Bach, it came from us that we have to add 200 people. Rudolf Steiner, I actually meant that you ought to have that number of people if you want to do something practical. Emil Bach, there must be 200 people who are prepared to be active. Rudolf Steiner, I can hold the course for however many people you can bring together in 2.5 months. Rudolf, Emil Bach, would the course in Dornach be held at the same time as the college courses? Rudolf Steiner, we have not yet scheduled a college course. We will hold an art course and a series of events from August 20th to the 27th. Most of the people attending will be English, but naturally we do not want to limit it to the English. After that we are supposed to come back here to Stuttgart. That would be during the first 14 days of September. It would be possible to hold the course here in Stuttgart during that time. Emil Bach, and the second half of September would not be possible? Rudolf Steiner, no, because I must return to Switzerland then. Of course, if we could arrange to hold the course in Switzerland, we could well consider the second half of September. But I cannot yet say for sure today. It is extremely difficult to procure the financial resources for what is needed. Emil Bach, perhaps by then we would already have Dr. Heisler's initial success in fundraising. Rudolf Steiner, consider that if the course were to cost you 10,000 Reichmarks here, that is very little. We could do it in Dornach for 10,000 Swiss francs, but due to the exchange rate, the 10,000 Swiss francs would cost 100,000 marks. We can collect 10,000 Swiss francs in Switzerland much more easily than you can raise 100,000 marks here in Germany. Emil Bach, however, it would not be a matter of paying for all of us. Many of us could perhaps pay for ourselves. If we could stay in some of the sheds, that would be perfectly good enough for us. Rudolf Steiner, we have accommodations. However, you would need to pay 4 Swiss francs per person per day. For 100 people, that would be 400 Swiss francs per day for 14 days. It would come to a total of 5,600 Swiss francs. Perhaps 6,000 Swiss francs would be needed. That would be 60,000 marks if raised here in Germany. It is quite possible that we can get it there in Switzerland. A participant. As far as the time is concerned, the end of September would be much better. Many students are then on their way to college. Rudolf Steiner. This is a question we cannot yet answer. I think that it would certainly be easier to hold it in Dornach. It could also be held here in Stuttgart, but it would have to be in the first half of September, and there would then have to be a break of 6 weeks before I could come again. Emil Bach. It would be worth a lot if we knew which dates we should plan for. We have discussed all the possible ways to get people to join us. According to our discussions up to this point, we are considering finding theologians by turning to pastors who are close to Anthroposophy. We would do this by sending circular letters to all possible places. We have also discussed all the possible ways of approaching people in the universities, similar movements that want to reform the ritual, and also certain youth movements. People have already declared that they are willing and ready to do certain things. We attempted to divide up the German universities among us and saw that there are a few universities that we are unable to reach. We plan to make specific travel arrangements for a small number of us to travel to any such university city. Then we want to share with one another our experiences of the work of publicity or promotion. We will do this through the circular letter. And here we want at least to suggest that we put together a brochure that will give a brief orientation of what this work is all about, especially for those who could become our co-workers. We felt it would be practical for the brochure to contain 3 articles. These would be as follows. The first would orient people with regard to the overall cultural situation. It would be titled Intellectualism and Religious Life. The second would be about the ritual, and the third would be about communicating and imparting religious teaching. We have, to begin with, assigned at least 3 members of our group to each article, so that the best of the submitted contributions could be put together. Then study groups should also be formed everywhere for the purpose of studying copies of the lectures we have heard here. We have decided that it would be good if Ernst Uhle would have each one of us sign a statement that we will use these copies properly and that they will be for our use only. We decided that for the expanding group, I will personally take on the responsibility of getting the signatures of the new participants. When the signatures are collected, they can be given to Mr. Uhle. It would be of great benefit to our group if we could receive from Dr. Steiner the content of the rituals that have been developed so far. When something appeared to be of value, even if it was not directly related to the course, but only indirectly related to the course, we could then send them to the various participants from our central office. In order to prepare for the founding and to support the activity of publicity and promotion, the idea also arose that we should hold concurrent lectures that do not publicize our work, but rather seek to bring about an understanding that a renewal of religion out of Anthroposophy is possible. All kinds of suggestions came up. For example, it was suggested that one of us could travel with Haas Berkau Truppe, and then, after their performances, hold lectures on the relationship of Anthroposophy to the renewal of religion. We could hold lectures wherever we were. And then I have a request that a certain general misunderstanding could be taken care of. Perhaps it is too much to expect. The misunderstanding is that it is generally thought that the relationship of Anthroposophy to religious practice is not as positive as we have found it to be here now. We have found, again and again, that people in anthroposophical groups and elsewhere think that Anthroposophy has a fairly negative relationship to religious practice. If these people could know about the main ideas that we have spoken of here, some of them would be amazed. For this reason, we want to ask you, Dr. Steiner, to hold a public lecture in the near future, if possible, about Anthroposophy and the renewal of religion. And then, if it were possible, this lecture would be printed immediately afterward and be made available to the public. By this means, the positive stance that Anthroposophy has to religion would be known publicly, and it would prepare the foundation for our work in every respect. Rudolf Steiner. Do you think it would be especially good if I were to give the lecture? We must naturally consider how it will work best. From this point of view, it would undoubtedly be much better if such a lecture were given, and given well, by someone who is already involved in religious work. That would be better than if I gave it. I have nothing personal against giving the lecture myself. I would say what I have to say. But it would make a big difference if at the present time Mr. Rittelmeyer would give such a lecture. I would gladly speak with him about it, and I think he would be quite helpful. Ernst Uhle. That coincides with an idea I had in connection with the Congress. I had the intention, if possible, to put a lecture by Dr. Rittelmeyer into the program. However, he is not well. Rudolf Steiner. Dr. Rittelmeyer is not well, and there is really not another person to be found. At least I cannot think of another at the moment. It would actually be good if someone active in religious work would give the lecture. Emil Bach. We discussed this and concluded that doing that would only increase the number of opinions that have existed up until now by one more. The theologians who are close to us are not unified in their opinion, and there is, as far as I know, always the Heisler-Geyer opposition there. Rudolf Steiner, I do not know about it. Emil Bach. Pastor Geyer says that anthroposophy is absolutely not a religion. It is only science, and can, as such, like any worldview, only enrich religion. On the other side, there is a written piece by Dr. Heisler, which is at least understood to say that anthroposophy should replace religion. In our discussions, we were aware that this antithesis was always there. If Dr. Rittelmeyer joins in as a third opinion, people will all the more really not believe it. We were of the opinion that it does not have to be a lecture, but rather could be a pamphlet. The request for the lecture itself was supposed to mitigate our presumptuous request for a pamphlet. Rudolf Steiner. You see, it must absolutely be remembered that in the culture as a whole, it is necessary that the origin and source of anthroposophy be seen to lie in scientific considerations. This is the first thing we must remember. Thus, we cannot say that anthroposophy can replace religion directly, or that anthroposophy as such is only a renewal of religion. What I have stressed with you is that one needs anthroposophy for a renewal of religion, and that we should seek a specific religious stream that can need anthroposophy. This must be emphasized. Hermann Heisler. The antithesis arose because Geyer said, quote, if I accepted everything that Dr. Steiner says, religious life would have absolutely no meaning for me. Close quote. I responded with, quote, that is wrong, because anthroposophy is certainly not a religion, yet it necessarily becomes religion when it is understood correctly and builds religion. Close quote. When theology is correct, it strives toward religion. It does not matter what theology I have. The same is true with regard to anthroposophy. Rudolf Steiner. You see, in the case of Geyer, we have to take into account the fact that, above all, he does not want to come into conflict with officials of his church. Geyer's standpoint is not that he absolutely does not expect, for himself, essentially religious impulses from anthroposophy. On the contrary, he has received many religious impulses from anthroposophy. And doubtless, he has also received impulses for his sermons. However, he had to say what he said, because if he does not draw this line of separation, he would be thrown out of the church. His church does not want a new content to show itself in their religious work. Therefore, he says that his concern is only about God, and not about the world. Yet in reality, please excuse me, that is nothing but foolishness. God concerns himself greatly with the world. He created it. I do not know how people can concern themselves, please excuse the analogy, with the woodworker without concerning themselves with the woodworking. It is simply absurd. But one must commit absurdities if one does not want to be thrown out of the church. A participant. Pastor Geyer held a lecture, and it was quite obviously an attack against Pastor Heisler. If still another minister comes out with something, It will only give the impression that it is only another opinion. What is important is that something is said that will really stand. Rudolf Steiner. Take the tenor of how these things are being said. If a real difficulty exists, I will indeed do it myself. However, look at the tenor. It is as follows. One says that Anthroposophy appears to be claiming to be founding a religion. This cannot be, because never can a content such as Anthroposophy brings found a religion. Gogarten, for instance, says, yes, Anthroposophy wants to found religions. In those circles, no one would wonder if I myself would explain that Anthroposophy can bring a renewal of religion. That changes nothing. Rather, the whole discussion gets started up anew. If, however, Dr. Rittelmeyer would give the lecture, he is basically already pushed out of the church, and yet is still within it because he is so greatly loved by his large congregation. If he were to do this from his own standpoint, as a representative of the Protestant Church, which he feels himself to be, I think that it could really work. You could try even something somewhat more daring. I think that Dr. Rittelmeyer would help if it were a matter of writing a brochure. He can write. You could also think about uniting both ideas concerning this task, that I do the one part and someone else does the other. Perhaps that would not be so terrible. Now the question is whether someone else besides Dr. Rittelmeyer could write this. Did no one else besides Rittelmeyer, from the theological side, write in the Lebenswerk, life work? Ernst Uhle. No one besides Geyer. Rudolf Steiner. Geyer wrote in that, and we actually have no other Protestant theologians except Rittelmeyer and Geyer. A participant. There are a few, but they are no longer in the public to the same extent. Scheirer is an example. Rudolf Steiner, yes, yes, Scheirer created a tremendous to-do. He held a lecture that was full of warmth for Anthroposophy, but he could not finish it all in the same evening, and so he was going to finish it the following evening. However, after that first evening he received a dressing down. The next day, when he continued his lecture, he spoke against Anthroposophy. That is a brilliant example. Hermann Heisler, I do not have the list here. Reverend Klein would be a possibility. And then there is the elderly minister in Der Pfatz, the Palatinate, Rhineland Palatinate. Rudolf Steiner, do you mean Zauter? An elderly gentleman like that cannot do this. Hermann Heisler, Jund in Mannheim? Rudolf Steiner, you can do it. Do you not have the courage to step forward to do it? Please do not misunderstand me. I have nothing against my writing such a brochure, but I believe that it would not work as powerfully as it would if it would come from a person who seeks the renewal of religion, from a religious standpoint. People will say about me, yes, sure, he wants Anthroposophy, and he wants to renew all areas of life. For I have already given very many lectures on the renewal of religion. They simply have not been printed. In Berlin I gave lectures that speak to this topic, quote, the Bible and wisdom, close quote, for instance. I need only to refresh and renew what I have said, what I have often said about these things. I do not know, but you seem to think that people believe that Anthroposophy does not seek to be a religion. Neither Brunn nor Gogarten, however, believe it. All those who write from the Protestant side do not proceed from the premise that Anthroposophy does not want to renew religion. They fight against Anthroposophy precisely because they are of the opinion that it does want to do it. A participant. Rittelmeyer could do the brochure. Rudolf Steiner. He would be able to write it. Engel Bach. We also thought about the prejudices, precisely in relation to religious questions, present among members of the Anthroposophical Society. Rudolf Steiner. Among the members? Engel Bach. There are certain prejudices present. Rudolf Steiner. Why do you say this? Emil Bach. One never finds the right attitude toward those who are theologians. Rudolf Steiner. That rests solely upon the fact that the kind of theologian which you represent has not yet appeared. You surely do not expect anthroposophists to have a much different judgment than you yourselves concerning the majority of the theologians. Anthroposophists take the position that you have taken, which is justified. even more than was the case up to this point. In order to protect anthroposophy, we will have to seek out absurdity in all areas and to set ourselves intensely against it. I can assure you that theologians achieve as much in relation to absurdity as in relation to the lie. Professor Traub, for instance, is an example of absurdity. He says that I maintain in my title outline of Esoteric Science that the spiritual beings move like tables and chairs. He wrote that. When he was called upon to give an authoritative judgment, Dr. Traub wrote that I maintained that spiritual beings moved in Devakan like tables and chairs do in the physical world. Because he will not admit that he wrote this while he was in a condition in which, for him, tables and chairs move, I can assume nothing other than that it is an absurdity. You find these absurdities everywhere. Read Gogarten, and so on, with attention to logical absurdities. And then, too, these people lie. They are so terrible in relation to untruthfulness that it is monstrous. It is really true. Read in what totally roguish manner a Protestant church newspaper, the Stuttgarter Evangelische Sonntagsblut, the Stuttgart Evangelical Sunday paper, which invented the whole matter about Bernard of Clairvaux, took up Rittelmeyer's response to the story and took advantage of it. One must pay close attention to what untruths they came to. They are capable of doing the following. I believe I am presenting this correctly. Dr. Rittelmeyer responded to the claim made in the Sunday News that I, out of gratitude for his having written titled The Life and Work of Rudolf Steiner, called him the reincarnation of Bernard of Clairvaux. He responded by expressing his amazement that someone would claim something so untrue in the Sunday News. In the news this became that Rittelmeyer was amazed that I called him the reincarnation of Bernard of Clairvaux. They turned it around to say that he was amazed that I did this. They are such shrewd liars. It is all so cleverly done that one cannot expect, because theology is so unclear, that people appreciate the untruthfulness of it. It is not a matter of a person somehow rejecting religion as such. There are people among us who do such things, but it is not in any case relevant. The reality is only that because of various events, it has been made impossible for us to cultivate what has to do with ritual any further. Before the war, World War I, we cultivated it to a certain extent. In Zeiling's brochure, which is also untruthful, you find that stated. And we did do it. We can even speak of having experience of it. It is true. Since I have been working in anthroposophical circles, there have been at most 8 or 10 people leave their church. That is a very small number. We have 8,000 members, not followers, and 8 or 10 people are naturally very few in comparison. The number of people who have left their church is limited to these few. They left for various reasons. Recently someone wrote to me and asked if I would advise him to leave the church. I advise no one to leave the church, also not Catholics. I do not advise Catholics to do this, because according to the Catholic Church's current view, they do not have the right to leave. I am being serious. Given the dogma of infallibility, Catholics do not have the right to leave the Catholic Church, because a decision was made ex cathedra that Catholics cannot leave the Church. Catholics are simply within the Church, even if they claim to have left it. Since the institution of the dogma of infallibility, such things are possible. It seems to be a strange theory, but it is absolutely correct in the eyes of Catholicism. As a Catholic, one cannot leave the Catholic Church. Hermann Heisler, aren't the Catholics automatically excluded if they do not follow the requirement of the Easter Confession? Rudolf Steiner, that is not stated anywhere. The Catholic Church has also never asserted it. Hermann Heisler, Catholics have told me about it. Catholics say that it is taught in the Catechism. Rudolf Steiner, yes, it may indeed be taught. Yet you know that many things are taught and said. I recall only the conversation between a parish priest who serves in the world and a parish of the Jesuit order, and a priest of the Jesuit order. The Jesuit said, quote, under no circumstances may a Catholic priest read newspapers because they are godless today, close quote. The priest, who is out in the world and freer in his views, replied, quote, how should we then preach? We must know something of the world when we preach, and we can do that only if we read the newspapers, and yet you preach about everything." Close quote. The Jesuit reiterated, quote, "I do not read newspapers," close quote. The parish priest then said, quote, "But you know what is going on in the world," close quote. Jesuit repeated, "I read no newspapers," close quote, to which the parish priest finally asked, "Yes, well, how do you do it then?" And the Jesuit said, "I let someone read it to me." The Jesuit follows the requirement or commandment in the strictest sense. Yet, you see, Dr. Heisler, I do not know how a person is supposed to be excommunicated. Assume that a Catholic has not bothered with the Church for years. Do you believe that if I wanted to go to confession tomorrow, they would turn me away? I do not know how an excommunication would come about. The most curious thing happened to Franz Brentano, the philosopher. Brentano not only left the Catholic Church, he was an ordained priest, he converted to Protestantism, and also married. Yet the Catholic Church declared that he could not be called to a professorship in the university because he was still a priest. He was no longer looked upon as a Catholic, indeed he was excommunicated, and he converted to Protestantism, but he was not allowed to become a professor, which he once was, in the University of Vienna. Brentano was professor of philosophy in the university, having been called there in 1873. Then he wanted to marry, but he could not, because Austrian law forbade the marriage of priests. Thus an Austrian citizen who is a priest may not marry. Brentano became a Saxon citizen and a Protestant and married a Jewish woman. Therefore he had to give up his professorship. They promised him that they would call him later, but they never did, because the Catholic Church protested. The Church explained, quote, "He is a Protestant, yet at the same time his ordination is not taken away from him, and a priest who behaves in such a manner may not become a professor in Austria." Then Minister Conrad took heart and went to Emperor Franz Joseph to deal with it that way. The emperor looked at the situation and said, quote, "Yes, it is a devilish thing. Is the Jewish woman at least Zauber?" Close quote. Zauber means pretty. This she was not. Therefore Conrad could not truthfully say that she was pretty. The emperor then said, "Then nothing can come of it." In conclusion, if you believe that I should write such a brochure, there is nothing to stop me from doing it. But it would perhaps be good if someone from the other side, from that of religious work, would write it. Emil Bach. Rittelmeyer has now written about anthroposophy and the renewal of religion, but I don't know if that is relevant, since he does not know what we have heard here. Rudolf Steiner. But tell me, do you not believe that it is not at all necessary for a renowned practitioner of religion to write this? Do you not believe that, for instance, one of you out of the circle of younger people could write such a piece, something that works purely out of its inner goodness and soundness? Would it not be better if precisely someone who seeks religious renewal were to write it, rather than someone who is known for writing from the standpoint of anthroposophy? It would work even if the person who writes it does not want to become a priest. I do not know why a younger person could not do it. It just might be done well. Think about it. Now, I will never refuse to do it. I would, of course, do it. Emil Bach. I ended my report with the fact that a central office would be set up in Berlin. It would be worthwhile for us, first of all, to stay in constant contact with Dr. Steiner from there, if possible at least temporarily. Rudolf Steiner, that will work well. Emil Bach, next we have something that reaches into Dr. Heisler's domain. We tried to draft a fundraising flyer, but have not yet finished it. I would now ask Dr. Heisler to report on the fundraising plans. Hermann Heisler, we were aware that we should begin according to a plan, that we should begin by going to places where we have acquaintances. We will enlist these acquaintances from among the anthroposophists. It is not good to approach the branches officially, but rather we should seek out from among anthroposophists several people from whom it would seem appropriate to obtain addresses of people to approach in order to raise money. We are convinced that a great number of our members will support our cause. Therefore, it would be better to begin with to turn to others. We are certain about members of the Anthroposophical Society. We do not need to cultivate them just now. The person in question should bring the people he or she has collected together into a committee of representatives. These people will receive directions, and then they will work on from there. Rudolf Steiner, I would indeed advise that you do not go to the branches officially, but rather on a personal basis, and that you put much effort into getting members to give you addresses of non-members. I would very much advise this. You will find that there are quite a lot of people who do not want to become official members, but who care a great deal about doing something in this direction. Unfortunately, it is a little too late for a totally fruitful collecting of money. This will, of course, not hinder you from achieving a great deal in spite of it. It is quite remarkable how strong 2 or 2.5 years ago the striving was, precisely in Germany, for people who had money available to give it to such causes. A large number of wealthy people at that time said, quote, "We absolutely do not want the state to take our money from us." Close quote. Kaiserling's cause lives solely from such money. Quite a lot of such people gave to his cause at that time. Hermann Heisler, is not this picture still relevant? Rudolf Steiner, it is no longer as true as 2 years ago, but you can still find it. Hermann Heisler, business people have quite a lot of money in their cash boxes. For them, spending their money is a real art now, and so perhaps they will give it easily. Rudolf Steiner, in addition, there are no taxes. There were no taxes before. Now the stupid taxation enters in. I do not doubt that you will raise money for this work. The situation is different for the Kommendatag to receive money. You are more likely to get money for such a cause as yours. Hermann Heisler, then I also considered Austria. I plan to begin in Baden. I would go first to Freiburg, where I have something specific in mind. Then I would like to go up north and travel down along the Rhine as far as Köln. I think this will take a good month. If this effort is to be fruitful, it must happen quickly. It is urgent, and it is impossible to do it all myself. If the course is to begin already at the beginning of September, then I have hardly 1 month to do this. August will be very bad. It is not a practical time. September and October again will be better, but I can promise little from August. Therefore, I thought that if the question of time becomes urgent, I would ask Rudolf Meyer to take over the fundraising in Hanover, and the gentleman in Berlin to work there. If I have the time, which I doubt, I will make short visits to the cities in southern Germany. Otherwise, that must wait until later. It would follow that we would take a break in August. Then it would be possible for me to take a trip to Saxony, and perhaps also to Lake Constanz and Konstanz. It does not make sense to plan further ahead than that, because the plans for further work must arise out of practical experience. Dr. Steiner, would you like to say something about all this? Rudolf Steiner, while I am here, I will think about this issue, and then we can still talk it over. Hermann Heisler, I would like to go to the Executive Council and ask that they call together the appropriate people. Then it is a question of what should be done first with the money. I was of the opinion that we should open a checking account in my name, and then we would invest it with the Kommendatag, where we hope to receive quite a high rate of interest. There is a certain lack of clarity concerning the favor that the Kommendatag wants to do for us. In addition to my salary, there would be travel expenses for the people who help, Mr. Meyer, etc., postage, printing, and all the other expenses. Then the course itself also comes under consideration. We hope that the Kommendatag will support us for the first 3 months. Rudolf Steiner, I have engaged the Kommendatag only for your position. You must cover any additional expenses out of the money you bring in. I thought the Kommendatag would bridge the gap, but that, under the circumstances, would then be reimbursed for travel expenses later. You must enter into a much more thorough agreement with the Kommendatag than I have. I had to be satisfied with getting this much. Hermann Heisler, yet I hope, Rudolf Steiner, whoever says A once in a while will also say B, if it is begun correctly. Hermann Heisler, we thought that would be the first effort, to have people everywhere to whom we can turn. Then we would take up the production of and sending out of a circular, the obvious further work. After this whole work is accomplished comes the course. After the course, the main thing is the spiritual work. Rudolf Steiner, however, if it is not to turn out badly, the spiritual activity must begin immediately by the taking on of pastoral positions or by founding communities. One may not represent this cause theoretically. It must be taken up practically. Hermann Heisler, it would perhaps also be good if one would let the religious element flow into lectures. Rudolf Steiner, I am of the opinion that it would succeed if all the young theologians who now join this loose union set to work directly to enter into the office of the priesthood, to enter into practical religious work. I do not know that it is much use to propagate ideas and campaign for ideas. I believe it is more likely that to do so would weaken the impetus. Emil Bach. We were not clear whether we should immediately put a ritual in place, or whether we should prepare for it through our work. Rudolf Steiner. You see, as soon as you think of founding a community, of beginning pastoral care, you must begin to practice real pastoral care with the ritual. A participant. Some people are perhaps old enough to be able to prepare themselves. In any case, many are not. Those should then come after the others. Rudolf Steiner. Yes, that too is correct. But most of you are younger theologians. More particularly, some of you who are here will enter into pastoral positions before too long. I do not know that you should aim to wait until your studies are completely finished. You can found independent communities quite well with only 3 semesters behind you if you just try really to penetrate into matters, though of course the course will help you penetrate into them more deeply. You must, however, under all circumstances, believe that you could already exercise pastoral care better than others who may have 8 semesters behind them. If you do not really believe this, you will have too little impetus and drive. You cannot let that happen. A participant. There is always the danger that the academic degree will not be attained. Rudolf Steiner. But in other fields, many students have enrolled somewhere, and later they went after a doctorate. That would be possible here. A participant. Perhaps they would not admit us. Rudolf Steiner. That is a question. Naturally, it is certainly necessary to attain an academic degree, because otherwise people would form the prejudicial judgment that only the broken lives, those who could not do nothing, that could do nothing else, do something like this, which must not happen. Even if you first build communities for a time and then, after a few years, complete your degree, it can be done. There have always been people who stayed registered and then later took their oral exam. A participant. If giving pastoral care is enough, then the degree has no significance. Rudolf Steiner, do you think it is difficult to get a doctorate? A participant, 6 semesters are necessary. Rudolf Steiner, somehow it has always been possible. For example, 20 years ago, Mr. Posadzi came to me and said, I want to get a doctorate in philosophy. Could you look through my dissertation? I want to write about Herder. He had written a good dissertation. He only committed the grave error of quoting from my title Christianity is Mystical Fact. And he was told, no, if you quote Steiner, we will not accept your dissertation. He did not want to delete the reference, and so he came back to me. I told him to go to Gideon Speicher, under whum he gained a doctor cum laude degree. You can always do it somewhere. Of course, you can no longer do it under Gideon Speicher in Münster, because he is no longer living. Previously, people could get their doctorate under Speicher's successor. He is actually a blustery type, but not the worst. His name is Braun. Emil Bach. The one who wrote about Schelling? Rudolf Steiner. Yes. There is also one of your colleagues who wants to get his doctorate in Basel, Altenmüller. He also is part of your circle. Hermann Heisler. Lauer, Doldinger. Rudolf Steiner. They are theologians. I am convinced that among other students are those who take the reverse course. Speaking to Gottfried Husemann. You studied chemistry, did you not? Once there is a movement, there will be philosophers who transfer to religious practice. This Mrs. Plinka, isn't she interested also? Many people will undoubtedly come around to theology. A participant. I would like to ask how we could get the lectures Bibel und Weisheit, Bible and Wisdom. Rudolf Steiner. I will check into that when I go to Berlin. There were still copies on hand. Frau Dr. Steiner will know. I will see if there are copies. A participant. Perhaps there are also other texts? Rudolf Steiner. I will have the lectures looked at. I have spoken many times about the relationship to religion. It is extraordinarily difficult, especially because of the large amount of literature produced by theologians, to come to a conclusion with people. When one refutes something, they twist it around to say something else. One is never done with them. It is much easier to write something than to speak about it with people. For their own purposes, such people cannot be truthful. This leads them to speak untruths in other areas also. They find it totally appropriate to speak untruths. For example, in the article in which Traub did what I mentioned before, he was so brazen as to write that he could no longer remember my cultural appeal, and also that he had not read it carefully, but he could only say that he has seldom seen something so pompous. You can find that in the essay that he wrote as a supposed authority. His essay is full of such things. It contains the wonderful statement, quote, in quotes, quote, let me say that again, it contains the, in quotes, wonderful statement, quote, Anthroposophy calls itself a secret science. However, what is secret is not a science, close quote. He calls this a self-contained contradiction, an oxymoron. Above all, esoteric science is not secret. But even if it were, that would not preclude its being a science. Secret and science are two things that have nothing to do with each other. Such literature is terrible. It teems with such statements. One of our members took the trouble to pull together all the concrete untruths in Frohmeyer's booklet. I believe there were 183. Let us meet again at 8 a.m. tomorrow. The end of the discussion after chapter 5. After lecture 5.